Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. And today we have a very, very special guest. His name is Jeff Kinney. Yes, the Jeff Kinney, the one who writes The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And book number 7, The Third Wheel, will be out. And this will air tomorrow, November 13th. So it's a big, big day for you. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show again. We had you on a couple books ago, I think. Maybe it was last book. I can't remember. Cabin Fever was the one we had you on for.
Yep.
Tell me about Third Wheel. I was reading it today at work, and I'm just sitting there. I'm outside the store where I work, just laughing. This book is, the situations are so comical. I get they're so interesting. How Greg gets into these situations just makes me laugh.
I'm really proud of this book. I think it's got the best narrative of all my books. I think I'm getting a little bit better at that, and I think it's fun too because I'm finally exploring boy-girl politics in a meaningful sort of way. So it's all about pre-adolescent romance, and I hope kids like it.
Now, you had already announced, I think, on one of the websites what the book was going to be about, and there's going to be a Valentine's Day dance, I think, and Greg Reagan love, and all kinds of different things. I don't want to spoil too much for people who haven't read the book, but... Because it's one of these books you just sit down and you just sit and you could read it for hours and you hate to even go back to work because you get so caught up in the book. But it's just the situations. I mean, how difficult are the cartoons to draw for you?
It's much more difficult than it should be. The drawing it takes me about an hour per drawing, and the drawings in the book look like little doodles, but there's about 350 of them, and this year I had to draw all of them in 1 month, so I ended up averaging, I think, somewhere between 15 and 17 hours a day for a month drawing. So it was hard.
Do you like the drawing part, or would you prefer the writing part?
The writing part is really hard for me. It's all really hard for me, actually. But the drawing, I would really like it if I didn't have to do it in such a rush. But the problem is that I'm often in such a pinch because I don't feel satisfied that I've got enough good material. So I push the deadline as far as I can until I have to draw.
When I was reading Third Wheel today, and we get to see Greg even before he was born. It's just
right.
It's so comical. I mean, thinking back on reading it, you know, you just think of the situations and I think to myself, I wonder how much Greg, or how much you yourself, Jeff Kinney, have gone through some of the situations that Greg has gone through. I mean, does it mirror your life completely, or are there any similarities?
I think that, you know, Greg is like me in the worst ways. You know, he doesn't have many of my good features, but he's not a hero. He's not a perfect character. He's flawed, and I think that's okay. I think it's good to have characters like that.
Right, and of course, I'm sure. I mean, we all feel like we're flawed in some way. I guess that's normal. Even as we get older, we still feel a little flawed. Maybe we feel even more flawed as we get older. I don't know. But I mean, childhood is so rough. I mean, when I read these books, I instantly revert back to my childhood, and I think of the times that I was belittled. I had a rubber band on. I was tortured with rubber bands when I was in high school.
That sounds awful. I hope you weren't damaged physically.
More mentally than physically. I mean, I did have some... And you're afraid to speak up. You're afraid to look bad. You know, you're afraid to say anything to anybody. And that's how I relate to Greg in your book. So I feel like he's a little bit, people do things to him. Maybe he's not quite as tortured as I was in school. I mean, I finally was taken out of class and put in a special class, but... There were problems even there. So, I mean, and I can relate to it, but I laugh about it because the situations are humorous. You put them in a humorous light, and I think that helps people deal with it, and kids certainly deal with their problems, too. So maybe they read and they think, well, I'm not the only one that's been bullied.
Right, yeah. I wonder if the books are therapeutic to kids. I'm not sure. You know, a lot of the problems that Greg has can be tied right back to his own actions and decisions.
Right.
So you never know how kids are taking that. But if kids can find a character they can relate to, I think that's a positive.
Are they therapeutic for you to write?
They are, actually. It's a good way to process my memories of childhood and to, you know, if I observe something funny in my adult life, I can put it in my book. So that's been good for me, yeah.
All right, tell people a little bit about the third wheel, what they can expect with this one, so we give people a little bit of a hint about what to expect. I'm sure everybody's going to go out and buy it. I mean, you've got, 58 million copies in print now? It's probably over that by now, right?
yeah, I think we're up to like 82 or 83.
So I mean, you're the number one book on Amazon right now. I mean, how amazing is that?
That's cool. You know, it's just great. It's great to see that there's still anticipation for my books after all this time, and, you know, seven books in, that there's still a demand. That's a great feeling. But the third wheel is about, you know, Greg and trying to get a date to this dance and going on a date with a girl and Rowley as a group of friends and trying to turn that to his advantage.
Right. What I like about your books is they don't start out right with the main story. The main story tends to be halfway through the book. Then you get into the story. So I'm always wondering, well, how's he gonna get into this, the dance, and Greg's date for the dance? You know, and that's the fun of reading, the fun of expectation. You know, can we figure out how he's gonna get into that? What's gonna happen to Greg? And is Greg gonna gain any weight?
Right. I mean, that's generous of you. I think, you know, my writing is a little bit sloppy, so I don't even know how to get into the stories sometimes.
But they're just fun. I mean, it's just one story after another, and it's interesting how you blend them all together. It's like before we know it, we're into another story, and then we're seeing Greg in the womb, and then we're seeing Greg. And I'm laughing about the T-shirts, the whole T-shirt incident. I don't want to give anything away because I don't want people to... But I mean, the T-shirt, selling the T-shirts, I mean, just it's so typical of the things that happened to Greg. I mean, a lot of bad things happened to Greg, but they're comical.
Right. Yeah, we have. I won't give anything away about the T-shirts either. But Greg, you know, inherits these. His uncle gets these T-shirts, misprinted T-shirts, and you know, I've liked that joke in my real life for a long time. I said that would be really funny if that happened to somebody, if they got saddled with, like, you know, thousands of misprinted T-shirts, and how would they get rid of them? You know, so a lot of times I get to, you know, take something funny that I put it right into my book.
So you have these ideas. Do all these ideas come to you at once, or does it take a long time to think of all these ideas that you're going to put in each book?
It takes a long time, actually, and sometimes it gets really hard to generate new ideas. In fact, on a typical night, if I'm not feeling it, I might only write like one joke or none, and that catches up with you, you know, in the summertime when the book is due.
And that's the one thing I have a problem with. The books go so fast. I mean, I hate to finish this book because I don't have any more to read after this. And I never thought, when I first picked the first one up, I thought to myself, well, I don't know if I'm going to like these books. And before I knew it, I was so caught up in Greg's life and, you know, and what was happening to him, I couldn't stop reading them. And
that's cool.
And that's how you've been. I'm 50 years old. I can admit that now. But, I mean, why is a 50-year-old like to read your books? Does that surprise you?
It does, and it, you know, it surprises me that you're a comics guy and you like my books, because I haven't had much success with the, you know, I feel like an outsider in the comics community. So it's, you know, it's thrilling to hear that, because that's what I wanted to be, was a newspaper cartoonist, but I couldn't pull it off.
I was watching a TV show the other day, and I saw this prank that one of the kids was playing on another, and I won't mention the prank because I don't want people at home to try it or anything. Yeah. It was such a mean thing, and I thought, wow, you know, millions of people are watching this show, and these kids are going to get ideas to do these things to their kids, and I'm thinking to myself,
right,
what a horrible thing. What a horrible way to, and even though it's funny in the show, and you watch it and it seems funny, we forget that people still get ideas from that. You know, and
I mean, that's something I struggle with now, is that, you know, I come up with ideas and I'm like, oh, that would be good to put in the book. It's funny. But then you do have a responsibility. You need to make sure, you have to weigh the humor against the risk of somebody repeating an action, for sure.
Right. And how serious do you, I mean, are there certain things you won't put in any of your books? In certain situations?
Yeah, like real violence or real, you know, or swearing or things like that, drug use, alcohol. You know, I'm just trying to keep it light and keep it young enough that everybody can enjoy it and feel like it's a family friendly.
Now, who do you bounce the jokes off of to make sure, or do you do that at all? I mean, is there somebody you say them to and to see how they react to them?
Yeah, I usually bounce the jokes off of my brother and my editor also. I have different people. My wife sometimes, like, everybody gives me something a little bit different. And so, you know, I try to reach out to a number of people. I have an assistant I work with, and I work with her a lot on this book. And there's people who I know don't like my book that I try things out on because it just helps me to see how the general public will react.
Well, see, I talk to you now, and I realize that your integrity is there. You're definitely concerned about what's in your books. This is not just, you know, let's get as many books out as we can and make as much money. You're really concerned about what's in your books. So I know I can trust you with that. And when I read the books, I get such a kick out of them. I mean, and maybe it's, I mean, that's how I feel. And I know I'm going to get, and it's to the point where I don't want the series to end because I look forward to reading each one.
Thank you so much. That is great to hear. Really great. And I hope kids feel that way.
But
I don't know when to end the series, or should I just keep going and going? You know, you never know.
I think you should just keep going and going. That's what I think. And I think I can hear all the kids out there saying, yes, 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 don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. I mean, look what happened when J.K. Rowling quit Harry Potter. I mean, it was like a traumatic event. Even though we knew it was only going to be 7 books, you know, I still miss Harry Potter.
Right, yeah, I do too, actually. But, you know, does it, if she goes on, then it becomes pulp, right?
You know,
it seems like there needs to be, in Harry Potter's world, there needs to be high stakes, and so there needs to be an end point. And in my books, I'm not sure that there does need to be one. I don't need to keep raising the stakes because I'm not writing literature. I feel like I'm writing cartoons.
Well, I think the last time, we talked, you told me there were only going to be 10 books. I think you said something.
I'm surprised I was that ambitious then. I think I'm not going to put any cap on it. I'm just going to. I'm aiming for 10 right now, and then we'll see where things are at that point.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad that's changed. I'm so thrilled to hear that. You have no idea how thrilling that is. So what kind of merchandise are we going to see? I mean, what kind of merchandise is already out there besides the books? I mean, I assume there's T-shirts and are there figures too?
Yeah, we have bobbleheads and some figures and some puzzles and board games and things like that. I've tried to really keep it limited because I don't want to, I don't want to fill up the world with junk. And I think that also you can really overexploit a property and that's not a good thing. So I like what we've put together so far.
Now, there's how many, 3 movies out now?
There are 3, yes, 3 live action.
What do you think of the movies?
I think that what the movies do really well is that they bring emotion to the stories. And so that's something that I really enjoyed is that you can feel or care about these characters. And I think that they also were cast very well. And, you know, there's some funny stuff in there. So it's been an interesting experience for me.
They're definitely different than the books, the movies. I mean, there's not, I mean, to me, I mean, I hate to say it, but I'd much rather read your books. Is that terrible of me? It's just that
no,
way I feel.
I appreciate that. But, thank you very much.
But I know that I'm always, and the joy of the books is going back and remembering the jokes and laughing all over again. So we just keep laughing. It's not like a sitcom where you laugh once and then you never think about them anymore. I mean, unless it's a memorable sitcom. But, you know, these are different. These are, you know, like I said, I think about my child, and I think about, are we supposed to feel sorry for Greg? I mean, do you feel sorry for Greg, and do you want your readers to feel sorry for him?
I don't. I think that Greg represents, you know, the bad choices we all make in our life, and he deserves what he gets,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, he has some things happen to him that are unfortunate, but he's mostly to blame for his woes.
He's a little conniving, though, too.
I think so, but I don't see him as being like a smart aleck or kind of a kid who's a little twerp. I think of him as looking out for his best interests, which is what everybody does before they hit the developmental stage where they can look outside of themselves.
But he does have a huge conscience, though. His conscience is there. It does bother
right.
him, which is nice to see. I mean, we want kids to realize that, you know, having a conscience is very important.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's hard to find the line between, you know, having him seem like sort of soulless and to really be reflective. Somewhere in between is where the humor lies.
How hard is it for you to think of the titles of these books? I mean, does it come to you pretty easily, or did you agonize over it?
I do agonize over it. I could go through. The Last Straw was difficult, but it's probably not my best title. The Ugly Truth was, I liked that one a lot, because it was, you know, for a long time it was going to be called Rowley's Revenge, because Rowley, like, gets a pimple and moves past Greg on the, you know, adolescent ladder. And then Cabin Fever, that one was there from the beginning because I knew Greg was going to get snowed in. And this one, The Third Wheel, it was that one from Odd Man Out. But that one, it took a while. It took a few months, actually, to get the right title.
Right. So, and that's, I can only imagine what you go through and all. I mean, if you read these books and you think, oh, this seems easy to write, but it isn't easy. I mean, it's not. I mean, it may be easy to read. That doesn't mean it's easier to write. I think they say that the easier something is to read, the harder it is to write. I mean, that's the general thing. But I mean, do people realize how much work you do? I don't know if they do.
Oh, thanks. I think it is hard to write it. It's you know, I think that. But the format is easy. I think, you know, I could write a story about my day and write a little bit of text and draw a picture and write a little text and draw a picture. So I think that it's deceptive in that way. But to write a, you know, something where the quality is high is difficult. And that's something I'm always, I feel like I haven't written my perfect book yet, so I can keep striving for that.
I wish my mom had stuck a radio in front of her stomach so I could have listened to Beethoven all the time.
Right, we did that as parents. We put the prenatal speakers on my wife's belly and played, you know, classical music.
Oh, you really did do that?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Did it help?
Maybe. It, you know, they hate classical music now, but, you know, who knows?
Now, how old are your children?
I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old.
And now, what do they think of your books?
They, you know, they're not. They're sort of. My older son kind of read past my books. He has read them all, but he's read past them, and he's sort of read into Harry Potter and Percy Jackson books. But my younger son hasn't gotten to that level yet. He's close, but I think he'll be reading them pretty soon, within the next few months.
Now, is the idea to make a movie of every book? Do you think that's going to happen?
No, I don't. I think that the kids in the movie have aged out, and that's fine. You know, they're no longer in middle school themselves. But I think that, you know, I'm going to move this into animation if I can, and we're working on an animated holiday TV special now.
Oh, wow. Well, won't be for this year, obviously.
Right. It will be for next, hopefully.
Oh, really? Any idea? Do you think there'll ever be a TV series?
I don't know. That might be. If I have a good experience, then we might move into television. But I really want the quality to stay high, because I'm not going to like it if I have a low quality TV show out there. The books won't feel special anymore.
Would you ever let anybody else write the series if you decided you didn't want to do it anymore?
No, I wouldn't do that. I think there's a particular voice, and it's, you know, that
it's your voice, and we like your voice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the voice. When we read the books, I hear your voice, and it's a running voice through each book, and to bring somebody else in would just be a crime, really.
Thanks.
What kind of books do you like to read?
I like to listen to books. I don't like to read because I don't have time. So I really listen to historical fiction, history sometimes macroeconomics and things like that. And I just over this summer I finished the Game of Thrones on audio, and I felt sad when those were ended.
Oh, really?
Because that guy,
yeah.
George R. R. Martin takes like 5 years to write a book.
Exactly.
It's going to be a while.
We'd go nuts if we had to wait 5 years for your book. Do you get to pick the color of each one?
I do. Yeah, and I worked with my assistant on that this summer, and we really took it seriously. And she got tons of, like, paint chips and, you know, swatches and things, too, so that we could look at just get the exact right brown. And hopefully we got the right brown because it's hard sometimes to sell books that are brown.
I did the whole book itself. I mean, the book, I should have mentioned the book's from Abrams. I don't know if I said that or not, but I just like the whole. I mean, I love the, almost like the three dimensional cover. I the feel of the book even makes you happy too. I mean, I just like the way it's laid out. I mean,
That's cool.
And I mean, I just, it's everything about it I love. And I, you know, like I said, I didn't know I was going to like these. And they're like eating peanuts. You literally cannot. I defy anybody out there to read the first one and not read on and on and on. I mean, it really is difficult. It's impossible, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Now, the special that's going to be on next year, how long do you think it'll be? Will it be like a half-hour special, like the Charlie Browns or something?
Yeah, I think it will be. It's 22 minutes, I guess, when you add in commercials. But I think that's about the right length for this.
Now, will you be doing the drawing for that?
It will probably be animated CGI. So I don't know, you know, we're going to have to work hard to get that look right. But I want it to be, I think that it would be a difficult sell to do flat drawings now in television, especially my black and white flat drawings.
Now, I haven't mentioned the e-books yet. All the e-books are going to be available when?
My e-books are now available, actually.
They are?
The only one that's not. Yeah, the third wheel comes out tomorrow on e-book.
Okay. What do the e-books like? I mean, are they in full color if you have the color version of the...
I don't have color. So, you know, in my books, really. So all it is black and white drawings.
Yeah, right.
On blue, on like, you know, there's blue lines from the notebook paper.
Yeah, I can't wait to see when they do the television special, all the colors that we'll see. That'll be really interesting to see what color Greg really is. How much do you think Greg actually weighs?
I guess that's 70, maybe 60 pounds.
That's all he is? Wow.
I think so, yeah. He's pretty reedy. He is a wimpy kid.
Are there things about Greg that we don't know right now that you know and just haven't put in book form? I mean, are there...
I think that he'll be an unhappy adult. That's my guess on the character. You know, if he were to grow up, he would be the victim of his own, you know, poor judgment. So I think Rowley, his best friend, is going to be very well grounded, and you know, he's going to grow up to be a healthy, happy adult.
Right. His mother certainly is neurotic. I love that.
Right.
I love what you said about his mother. She's afraid of this and afraid of that. And she seems to be afraid of a lot of things.
Right.
And she's very influenced by the TV. You know? Whatever they say on TV. No. I mean, I love the... And you imagine, did you have an imaginary friend?
I think I briefly had an imaginary friend when I was a kid. And I thought I saw a kid in the woods or something, and I pretended he was my imaginary friend. So that's where I got that idea.
I mean, as silly as it sounds, it must have brought you a lot of joy to have an imaginary friend.
Very briefly, I think.
I mean, I remember being at school and not having a lot of friends and always wondering why I didn't fit in with other people. A lot of it was because I was so shy, and I was just a very shy kid, and the shy kids are always made fun of. Because they try to get you to open up. So the way they get you to open up is to do things to you, you know, or to tease you. And that I remember there was a kid in our high school who blinked a lot. He couldn't stop blinking. And I was, you know, I somehow got on the bandwagon, as horrible as it sounds. I guess because I was teased, I think I was trying to deflect it to somebody else. If I could see him today, I'd probably apologize. I know I would apologize to him, but because I still see him in my head. But it's amazing what kids go through in school. It all comes back when you're reading these books, but in a fun way too. I think it makes there's humor in all of this that goes on too, and I think that helps you deal with it more too. I really do. I really think I confronted one of my bullies one time, and you know, I was always glad I did, because you know, you think, well, why would you even want to talk to him ever again, you know?
How did that turn out?
it turned out fine. He was very nice to me, actually. You know, I don't remember him ever apologizing about it, but I was somehow able to talk to him. You know, I don't know how I had the nerve. I guess I forgave him in a certain way. I don't know if you look back and you think, kids are just, you know, what did they know? Do you already have an idea for Book 8? I hear you're working on Book 8 already.
Well, I kind of set up Book 8 with Book 7 and gave myself a lot of different ways to go. But I think, without giving away too much, having either Rowley or Greg have a girlfriend in Book 8 and really have that change their the dynamic friendship, I think would be that's good territory.
Right. I know you have to go, so I have to end the interview. I enjoy every time talking to you, Greg. I'm calling you Greg now. Wonderful, Jeff. It's always a pleasure. The new book again is called The Third Wheel. It's, I think, the first printing, 6.5 million copies. So an amazing amount like that. It was just staggering. That must blow your mind just to think about it.
It is really cool. You know, I never thought I'd get published. So
now I didn't mention the tour. You're doing a Midwestern tour this time, right? In the bus.
Yep. That's right. We're a Midwestern tour, and we just are right now between who knows where. we're just sort of all over the place today. But we start off in St. Louis, and we're going to head up to Wisconsin, Michigan, and all sorts of other places. So
that's really cool.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's really cool. I hope you get some sleep.
I'm sure I will.
And we've been talking to Jeff Kinney, and the book again is called The Third Wheel. It goes on sale November 13th in all your bookstores. It's been a real pleasure. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And this has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.